From Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 927. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. The sun's out anyway. Talking this morning with Paul Shemp. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Glad to be back in here. We missed a month because I was up north announcing my lieutenant governor running mate during what would have been our last monthly session. So it's good to be back now, and glad the roads are clear, and you know, looks like it's going to be a decent day in southern Illinois again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except you notice coming in here, the plows go by and stuff, it cleans the highways off, but it kind of blocks in your driveways.
Well, fortunately, I am not driving my little Ford Fusion anymore. It had 250,000 miles on it and did it started to break down. So I have a new vehicle that does have all-wheel drive, so I didn't mind the piled up snow at the beginning of your station's driveway, but it's all good, putting on a lot of miles on the vehicles, and that's what it's all about, running statewide in Illinois.
Right, exactly. I'll tell you what, we got a commercial break here. We'll go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we'll come back and dive into some of these topics. Of course, we want to hear about the lieutenant governor candidate too. So.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Welcome back. 9:34. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak, talking today with Paul Shemp. And we mentioned before we went on break that you now have your running mate with you.
Yes, that was, you know, the big news that we announced in January. We made that announcement the second week of January. My running mate, the next lieutenant governor of the state of Illinois, is Carolyn Schofield. Carolyn is currently a county board member in McHenry County, which is one of the northern collar counties, Chicago suburb. She is the vice chair of the county board. So when I was going about picking out somebody that would be my lieutenant governor running mate, I was not looking to check any kind of a geographic or a demographic box. What I wanted to do was I wanted to find somebody who was in alignment with me on kind of like the big picture stuff, where I'm talking about the government needs to be about solutions as opposed to outrage. You need to be able to listen to everybody and try to develop solutions rather than just, you know, being angry and, you know, shouting past each other all the time. So I wanted somebody that had, you know, that vision and idea of, you know, limited government, you know, power for parents, you know, and small businesses, but also somebody that could develop solutions as opposed to just outrage. I also wanted somebody whose background complemented mine. Now, you know, your listeners have been listening to me on this program now for a number of years, you know, when I was a state senator and now a candidate for governor, but they know that I have experience on the national stage, having worked on Capitol Hill as a congressional staffer, and then working the Saddam trial when I was in Iraq with the Marine Corps, also representing the Department of Defense in international energy and environment negotiations. So I have experience on the national stage, and then obviously I have experience in state government, having been a state senator for 4 years. What I did not have was experience at the local government level. And that's where Carolyn is really strong, having been involved in local government since 2012. She's the vice chair of the McHenry County Board, which McHenry County is the fifth largest county in the state of Illinois. They are doing some things right. They have a balanced budget. Their credit ratings keep going up. They are really, you know, kind of the poster child for good conservative limited government, you know, making it a suburban county that is a good place to live in Chicago. So Carolyn has that background. She has an engineering degree from the University of Illinois, which ought to tell you right there, she's pretty sharp. And then she just knows a tremendous amount about government consolidation, about property taxes, and also about mental health, which mental health, I don't view that as a political campaign issue, but realistically, mental illness is one of the greatest challenges facing our nation and state right now, and that's going to be an even greater challenge in the future. So Carolyn's going to really help us govern and be able to address that problem that society is going to be facing. So very excited have Carolyn on our team. She was my top choice to be my lieutenant governor running mate. We had her locked in really back at the very beginning of November, but we held off on the announcement until after the holidays just because people were not paying attention. And so far, the response has been fantastic. Mm. I mean, she really is a great addition, a great partner as far as somebody that, you know, is helping us develop solutions that can unite our state.
Right. A good balance in there.
She is. And, you know, the things that we are running on, that our campaign is running on, is really our focus is on three things. One, we are running hard on the idea of parents' rights, the idea that it should be parents, not the government, that determine their kids' education, health care, and maturation into adulthood. Mm-hmm. You know, we proposed Illinois Parents' Bill of Rights back in June. This is an issue that I have credibility on because that was one of my key issues when I was a state senator. My fellow senators got tired of me saying, hey, look, we are not a 59-member school board up here in the Illinois Senate. We should not be telling local schools how to do their jobs. So we're running on parents' rights. We're also running on support for law enforcement so that we can once again have safe communities and safe families in Illinois. But you do not get that without, you know, unequivocal support for law enforcement, making sure that our law enforcement heroes have the support, equipment, and training that they need. That's something that Governor Pritzker has been woefully deficient on. And then the final thing that we are running on is restoring trust in government. And that's twofold. We're talking about government not only operating the way it should with leaders that understand that promises don't have an expiration date, but also we need to do something about government overreach. I am uniquely qualified to be able to rein in the administrative agencies in Illinois. Nobody else running for governor has experience on JCAR, the Joint Committee for Administrative Rules, like I do. So those are the three issues that we are running on. And it was, you know, it was an interesting contrast between what we're running on and then what J.B. Pritzker talked about in his State of the State speech, which he gave on Wednesday of last week.
Mm-hmm. While we're out there, why don't we go ahead and talk about a little bit the governor's speech?
Well, I found the governor's speech, disappointing, disingenuous, and really inadequate. To me, the State of the State budget speech, and this was a combined speech, in some years past, governors have given a budget address and then a state of the state address, two separate speeches. This was combined. Hmm. But this really should not have been an occasion for partisan political attacks. But the governor apparently can't help himself because really all he has to offer the people of Illinois are higher taxes, more government spending, and partisan vitriol. But he turned this speech, which is supposed to be talking about where the state of Illinois is, and he turned it into a political attack. The governor should have been forthright with the people of Illinois. I don't know how you give a State of the State speech and you do not address the biggest threat that Illinois faces, which is our alarming population loss. You know, we toss around all these different economic metrics, GDP, unemployment rate, but really the ultimate statistic, the ultimate metric is whether people want to come to Illinois or stay in Illinois or whether they are fleeing our state. And in 2021, Illinois had a population loss of 114,000. That is something that is, higher than any of the other Midwestern states. That was the third largest population loss in the country. And the fact that J.B. Pritzker did not even address that in his State of the State speech to me was a dereliction of duty. This is the key metric. This is the key assessment of whether our state is healthy or not. And the fact that we are hemorrhaging population, is something that needs to be addressed if you're going to have an honest conversation with the people of Illinois. But J.B. Pritzker was not interested in doing that. Instead, he touted the fact that, that we have a balanced budget, pay no attention to the fact that the budget is balanced thanks to a massive federal bailout. If you don't have the massive federal bailout, there's no way we have a balanced budget. We're still in a, in a huge hole. And that federal bailout, while it's nice, that has not addressed any of the long-term fiscal challenges that our state faces.
So, in other words, once that money runs out, we're back where we started.
Pretty much, and we've lost time to address some of these challenges. Illinois is, don't ever give up on Illinois. Things are not hopeless, but we have to have responsible leadership, and we're going to have leaders that can make tough choices. And J.B. Pritzker simply has not shown himself capable of doing that. His first year in office, his very first budget, we had record revenue coming in. This was the height of the Trump economic expansion. We had record revenue coming in. Unfortunately, what did we do? We increased spending across the board, and we spent every last dime of that record revenue that was coming in. That was one of the times where, this was not just J.B. Pritzker that blew that. It was a bipartisan failure because you had the Republican leadership in both the Illinois House and the Illinois Senate supporting that budget with massive spending increases. However, I voted no on that. I was one of the few Republicans that voted no on it. And that's something that's probably one of the votes that I am most proud of. One of the things that I tell people when they're looking at all the different Republican candidates running for governor, we have five serious candidates out there at this point. But of all the candidates running for governor, I am the only one that has a legislative record where I voted against every single tax increase that crossed my desk, but I also never introduced any legislation that would expand the scope of government power or give the government new taxing or fee assessing powers. So there's nobody else running for governor that can say that. And, frankly, that's one of the reasons, the big reasons, that people should support me in the primary. Because unfortunately, as we all know, talk is cheap. And unless you have a legislative record and a voting record, you really don't know where people stand on the issues.
Mm-hmm. I know we've talked, for the past several years. I mean, when you were in the Senate and that. And so, I know from our past conversations, what you were just explaining there. And that's nothing new to anyone who's kind of followed you.
Well, I would just, and I would caution people too. Back in 2013, when I first got into politics, I was running for Illinois Attorney General, but at the time there was another statewide candidate, let's call him Candidate Bruce. But I was in the room when Candidate Bruce told people, I am pro-life and I'm opposed to illegal immigration. I heard that with my own ears. He said it. And then unfortunately, when Candidate Bruce became Governor Rauner, he did not live up to what he had promised people. And, I'm not saying this to trash on Governor Rauner. I tried to get him reelected against J.B. Pritzker. Our state would be much better off. But the reality is, talk is cheap. And unless somebody has voted on something, you don't know where they stand on the issues.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'll tell you what, we got another break here. We'll go ahead and throw that in real quick. And we'll come back and talk some more with Paul Shemp here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to The People Speak. Again, I'm Jeff, and again, we're talking today with Paul Shemp, and we talked about running mate, we've talked about different things, a state budget addressed by the governor. Also, another thing that's big in the news right now is a court ruling on that state mask mandate.
Yes, there was a court ruling that came out late afternoon on Friday that really is a victory for individual freedom and parents' rights. And the court case was a group of parents had sued several school districts and the Pritzker administration over his mask mandates for students. The Illinois State Board of Education had required that students wear masks. If they were unwilling to wear masks, they would be expelled from school.
Right.
And this Sangamon County Judge Raylene Grischow on Friday afternoon issued a temporary restraining order that deemed that these orders from these administrative rules from the Illinois State Board of Education were null and void. And that applied throughout the state. So this is a significant victory. There are some caveats to it. There's some limitations. That ruling, although it applies to the entire state and says that these rules from the Illinois State Board of Education are null and void, that does not limit the ability of school districts who were not defendants in the lawsuit to still require masks under their own authority.
Mm-hmm.
What had been happening, most of the school districts in the state of Illinois at the start of the school year, which was, back in the fall,
mm-hmm.
Were ready to go mask optional. And then the Illinois State Board of Education put a rule out saying, no, you have to wear, you have to make the students wear masks. And really the school districts had no choice but to obey that, because if you remember, J.B. Pritzker had weaponized the Illinois State Board of Education. They were revoking credentials from school districts that were not complying. And then also a lot of the insurance companies, they will not provide coverage to school districts that do not comply with what the Illinois Department of Public Health and the State Board of Education put out. So the actions of the Pritzker administration really had been the driving force requiring students to wear masks in schools. Now those rules that were put out by the Pritzker administration have been struck down by this judge. So the ball is back in the court of the school districts. They can, if the school districts want to require masks, they still can do that. However, it'll be their own decision,
mm-hmm.
and they can be held accountable by the parents if they don't like what the decision was. So that is, that's one limitation on the scope of the decision. The other thing that it is important to understand is that this was a ruling from a trial court judge, mm-hmm. and it has already been appealed. If the appellate court decides differently, then it can still be a win for the Pritzker administration, because in the legal realm, it is not the first ruling that counts. It is the last ruling that counts. That's the one that is controlling. So, right. Back a couple years ago, there were cases filed, against Pritzker's executive orders where people won at the trial level and then they lost on appeal. And that was a loss. When people say, oh, I won a trial court, so that means I won my case, even though I lost on appeal. That's kind of like our St. Louis Cardinals claiming that they won the wild card game against the Dodgers because they were ahead after three innings. It's the final ruling that counts. Now, a little bit of optimism, though, here, because, unlike, the case that Darren Bailey lost, I think this stands a better chance of being upheld, because, back when Senator Bailey was suing the governor, the governor relied on saying, look, this is an emergency. The legislature is incapable of acting. They haven't convened. It's unsafe to bring them in. I'm filling a void because the legislature can't act. Well, the administration doesn't have that argument anymore, because the General Assembly has been in session multiple times the last couple of years, and they have chosen not to change the law. And that was what the judge really relied on in issuing her order, is the fact that the General Assembly could have taken action to change the statute, and they chose not to do so. And one of the fundamental principles, of our system of government is that statutes take precedence over administrative rules. A statute trumps an administrative rule. The bureaucrats can't say, we don't like that statute, so we're going to issue a rule that's in direct contravention of the statute. It's the statute that takes priority. So, J.B. Pritzker and President Harmon and Speaker Welch, we're all, upset about this court case. But if they're upset, they need to look in the mirror and they are the ones that are responsible for this ruling turning out the way it did, because it was, utter laziness on the part of the Pritzker administration not to try to get the rules changed, and it was dereliction of duty, plain and simple, by the Illinois General Assembly to not come in and actually legislate, to just turn all this authority over to the governor. So that ruling Judge Grischow made on Friday, I think, was absolutely correct. And it'll be interesting to see, what happens to this at the appellate level now.
Right. I mean, and it's hard in a situation like that with each local school district. Everything's different. You know, everything works different here than it does in Chicago. And so, I mean, it's you've got to leave it to your local.
Well, that's the genius behind local control of education, because I will always be convinced that it's parents and local education leaders, not the bureaucrats in Springfield and Chicago, that know what is best for our kids. That has been my philosophy when I voted as a state senator, and that'll be my philosophy when I'm your next governor.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks for stopping by.
Always good talking with you, Jeff.
And we'll look forward to talking to you next month, hopefully.
That sounds great.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.